and welcome to Dockside, the podcast that helps you save and enjoy the waters you love by sharing clean and safe boating practices. I'm your host, Sarah Kennedy. In this episode, we'll talk with California State Parks and the California Coastal Commission's Environmental Boating Program Manager, Vivian Matuk, and Yalin Lee, Senior Associate with the California Product Stewardship Council, about marine flares, their importance, and requirements for boats. We'll also be talking about why expired marine flares are considered hazardous waste and why they are an issue for our state and what the state is doing to solve this issue. Welcome to the show, Vivian and Yalin. Thank you so much for joining us today to talk about marine flares and their management in our state when they become expired. Let's start with you, Vivian.
Hey, thank you, Sarah. It is so great to be here with you and Yalin today, and this time not only as your colleague, Sarah, and editor of the podcast, but also as a speaker.
Yes, Vivian, thanks for being here. So let's start out. What are marine flares?
A marine flare is a visual distress signal, a type of pyrotechnic device that produces a brilliant light or a plume of colorful smoke as a visual distress signal, to attract attention in an emergency and to help pinpoint the boater's exact location. Handheld flares, which operate on the ground, and rocket flares, which are fired into the air, are the two most used visual distress signals because they can be used for daytime or nighttime.
So what type of boats need to carry marine flares on board?
So the U.S. Coast Guard requires vessels longer than 16 feet operating on coastal waters, the Great Lakes, territorial seas, and waters directly connected to them, up to the point where the body of water is less than 2 miles wide, to carry Coast Guard approved visual distress signals, such as pyrotechnic flares. The exceptions are recreational boats less than 16 feet in length, open sail boats less than 26 feet in length and not equipped with propulsion machinery, and manually propelled boats. These vessels are only required to carry nighttime signals when operating from sunset to sunrise. The U.S. Coast Guard requires boaters to carry a minimum of 3 daytime and 3 nighttime use flares to meet the visual distress signal requirements. And boaters only need 3 pyrotechnic flares if they are approved for both daytime and nighttime use. So, for example, red color handheld and aerial pyrotechnic flares are approved for both daytime and nighttime use. Orange color flares are approved for daytime use only. Remember, these flares must be in a serviceable condition, stowed where readily accessible and not expired. The Coast Guard may impose a civil penalty up to $1,100 for failure to comply with equipment requirements. And let's also remember, the Coast Guard may inspect boaters on a random basis.
Okay, and what is the problem with pyrotechnic marine flares?
So the California Department of Toxic Substances Control and the Environmental Protection Agency, commonly known as EPA, classifies pyrotechnic flares that will no longer be used for their intended purpose as hazardous waste, as they are toxic, reactive, and ignitable as defined by state and federal hazardous waste regulations. Some of the common ingredients in various type of pyrotechnic flares include strontium nitrate and strontium peroxide, which are listed on the EPA's Toxic Substances Control Act inventory list, potassium perchlorate and potassium nitrate, known as irritants, and magnesium and black powder, which is a mixture of sulfur, charcoal, and potassium nitrate. Pyrotechnic flares can contain toxic metals and pollutants such as perchlorate, which is recognized as a water and health pollutant that can impact our waterways and can impair thyroid's function. According to the Coast Guard regulation, the average shelf life for a single pyrotechnic flare is between 36 and 42 months from the manufacture date, because the effectiveness of the chemical can break down or degrade over time. Considering the fact that expired marine flares are a hazardous waste, as I mentioned already, and also consider explosives, their disposal is tricky and expensive because they need to be transported as explosives and must be disposed of as a at a hazardous waste facility permitted by the EPA to manage explosives. State laws prohibit the disposal of hazardous waste in waterways, trash, and in municipal landfills. Currently, there are no permitted facilities in California that can accept, treat, and or dispose of non-military explosive waste streams. And currently, as of 2024, there are only two permitted facilities in the US that accept and treat for disposal explosive waste streams like pyrotechnic marine flares. Therefore, as we can all imagine, the packaging, disposal, and transportation costs involved with safe disposal of these explosives waste streams is pretty high. And as a consequence, proper disposal is limited. Again, California doesn't have a permanent collection option at this point. Currently, some California counties pursue grants from CalRecycle to conduct temporary marine flare collection events, typically only recreational boaters who are residents or who keep their boat in that grantee county can participate in those events.
So what are the alternatives to pyrotechnic marine flares?
At this point, boaters have as an alternative the reusable electronic visual distress signal devices. These electronic visual distress signals are reusable alternatives that do not release chemicals when used, do not expire, and are safe to use.
And what are some of the recommended best practices for expired marine pyrotechnic flares disposal?
So first of all, never put expired flares in the regular trash or in any waterways. It is illegal and can endanger solid waste workers or our waterways. Do not discharge expired marine flares during civic fireworks, festivities, or any events. Firing a flare in a non-emergency is considered a false distress message. It is a federal crime and it is treated seriously by law enforcement. For example, the law mentions that an individual who knowingly and willfully communicates a false distress message to the Coast Guard or causes the Coast Guard to attempt to save lives and property when no help is needed is guilty of a Class D federal felony, meaning subject to up to 6 years in federal prison, up to $250,000 in fines, and reimbursement of all the costs a Coast Guard incurs as a result of the false distress signal or call. In addition, misuse of marine flares can cause serious injuries and can be a fire hazard. Another recommended practice is to encourage your county to conduct a collection event for recreational boaters. Purchase a U.S. Coast Guard approved electronic visual distress signal to replace all pyrotechnic flares, and also to stay informed about legal methods for disposal of hazardous waste and tell other recreational boaters when safe marine flare disposal collection events become available.
Thank you, Vivian. Wait, what great information. And now to you, Yalin, I have some questions for you. Why don't you say hello to everyone?
Hello, thank you, Sarah and Vivian, for inviting the California Product Stewardship and me, Ellen, to be on this podcast today. We're really excited to discuss this topic of marine flares with you.
Thank you so much for joining us. So considering all the work the state has been conducting for several years to solve this problem, which is a national problem, how did your organization start working on this important topic?
Yeah, so the California Product Stewardship Council, or CPSC, we're actually a 501c nonprofit, and we are, our associates and sponsors are representatives of local governments and non-government organizations, businesses, and individuals all across California. And so every other year, we launch something called the Priority Product Survey, which we send to our associate sponsors to just kind of understand what products are causing disposal problems for them, for as we can use these as kind of what do we need to address in policies to make these no longer problem and provide a permanent solution. And so in our most recent surveys in the past 5 or so years, marine flares has continuously ranked in the top 5 most difficult products to manage alongside things like solar panels and PFAS, which means that it is a big priority for our jurisdictions. In our most recent survey in 2022, marine flares actually ranked as the number one most difficult product to manage across all of our funders, and the number 3 most difficult product to manage across all respondents. So we knew that this was one of the major items that needed to be addressed in policy. And if you're interested in learning more about our priority product survey, you can visit our website at calpsc.org to see the full list. And so just knowing that, as we talk to waste authorities, we learned how a lot of them just do not currently have any options to dispose of marine flares. In the past, residents were able to take marine flares to police departments or fire departments, and sometimes the Coast Guard would take them for training purposes, but we've heard that most police departments, fire departments, and the Coast Guard no longer take in marine flares, and this leaves residents with no disposal option. Waste authorities often get them illegally dumped at their facilities. We've also heard harbor masters and marinas and other boating facilities will also get them illegally dumped, which also just leaves them with more illegally dumped marine flares that they have no solution for. And so working with some of the first jurisdictions, which were our associates, the city of San Francisco, the county of San Mateo, and the county of Alameda, who really were the pioneers in these marine flare collection events. They hosted their first marine flare collection events in 2019. And using that, we actually used them as a basis to apply for something that CalRecycle has. It's called the HD grants for household hazardous waste. And we apply for these grants to host temporary collection events with our partners across California. So our first marine flare project was in 2019 with Huntington Beach, but this focused just on education and promoting the reusable marine flares. But in 2021, I'm working with Alameda County. We hosted our first marine flare collection event in Delta Diablo or East Contra Costa. And since then, we have now developed the Make the Electronic Marine Flare Switch campaign and are hosting temporary collection events all across California, in the Bay Area, to Southern California, even as far north as Del Norte County.
Wow, thank you for all the work that you do. What are the current disposal options for expired pyrotechnic marine flares in our state?
Yeah, as Vivian talked, there's only 2 facilities all across the country that will actually take in and dispose of pyrotechnic marine flares. And so as far as we know from California, there's really no one that has a permanent disposal option for single-use pyrotechnic marine flares. And so, which is why we find that these grant projects and these temporary collection events are so vital. So we've been working with Vidivan and these jurisdictions to counteract this issue by hosting these temporary collection events in order to provide some sort of proper disposal for California residents, as there is not currently a permanent program. We do know, as across the state, Alameda County is actually the only HXW facility across California that will take in marine flares, as they have a magazine box, which is required to store marine flares, but they do take advantage of these temporary collection events in order to dispose them, as they do need to transport it across the country to these 2 approved disposal facilities.
Thank you. Can you please share with us some data from those collection events that have been taking place in the last few years, thanks to the partnership between your organization, the state, and some local communities?
Yeah. So we've been hosting these events with our partners since 2021, and we found that the number of flares vary by jurisdiction. As Vivian said, you know, not everyone is required to have marine flares. So in those port cities, we're going to see a lot more single-use marine flares compared to, you know, someone that's a little bit more rural or in the middle of California. But in our first marine flare collection event in Delta Diablo, we only collected a couple buckets of marine flares, because East Contra Costa, you know, most of those butters don't go out to the port. But in the last couple of years, we've seen those numbers increase. And so they've actually transitioned their format to be kind of do this like temporary multi-week collection where the residents can drop off over a period of time rather than in just one day. And just last year, they collected over 300 single-use marine flares from their jurisdiction. And so other partners that we worked with last year include West Contra Costa, who has been collecting for the past 2 years, and they've averaged around 500 marine flares every single year. The collected, one of the major partners I've been collecting for the last couple of years is the Port of Los Angeles. And even though they've been doing these for a number of years, they've actually collected over 1,600 flares every single year. It really showcases that even if you host these events every single year, there's always a constant supply of single-use marine flares that are being bought by boaters just because they just haven't been transitioned to the reusable alternative, which is why we also, as part of our grant projects, incorporate that education and the give out of free reusable. So that's a direct source reduction for the boaters. Another jurisdiction that we've seen a continuous number of single-use marine flares is Alameda County, which has again been collecting since 2019. And still every single year, they see about 1,300 marine flares, single-use marine flares collected at every single one of their events. And so just across the county, we've been seeing a rising number of flares as more boaters are aware of these temporary collection events. And also as more people are aware that temporary collection events are happening in California, we're getting contacts from cities and harbors and other jurisdictions, as well as just local residents, just trying to see like what can we do to host a collection event in their jurisdiction. And so if that is you and you're listening and you're looking to see how you can host this temporary collection event in your jurisdiction, please feel to contact the California Product Stewardship Council, and we'll do our best to see how we can do a temporary collection event and get reusables out in your jurisdiction.
Great, thank you. That's the end of my questions. Vivian, Yalin, do you have any final thoughts that you want to share?
Thank you, Sarah. Yeah, we're very excited about this work that we have been doing between the state, or the partnership that we have among the state and California Stewardship Product Council and the local jurisdictions, to offer a safe alternative for the disposal of these expired marine flares. So we want to invite the audience to learn about this issue by visiting dbw.parks.ca.gov/marineflares, one word, to learn more about this issue, and of course the other website Yalini is going to mention.
One second. Sorry. Yes, thank you, Vivian. So we've been working with the California State Parks, the California Coastal Commission, and the California Boating Commission to on our new Make the Electronic Marine Flare Switch campaign, which is hosting these temporary marine flare collection events across the state, as well as giving out free reusable marine flares. And so if you want to learn more about this program and what future programs might be available, please visit our website at calpsc.org/marine flare switch campaign. We also have social media on Instagram and Facebook as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Vivian. Thank you, Yalin, for the great information, for your time today, and for sharing all this with us today. Thank you to our friends out there tuning in. Again, you're listening to Dockside, the podcast that helps you save and enjoy the waters you love. I'm your host, Sarah Kennedy. Please make sure to tune in for future episodes. This podcast was brought to you by the California State Parks and the California Coastal Commission.